The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. And aren't we happy? Dr. Herb Slavin is back joining me on the radio this morning. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
And so you hopefully had a very, very restful, relaxing weekend. And now you've come back with your brain just full of situations and interesting facts that you want to share with our listeners.
How could you tell?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, no matter where you travel, they talk about Zika, the Zika virus, even though, I don't know, it's doesn't seem to be as big a threat as some of the other things we face.
Which that's we'll get the to truth.
And the latest on the Zika virus, which you're not hearing on mainstream media.
Is that a surprise to you that you don't hear about it on mainstream media, that it isn't the headlines screaming that very possibly Zika might not necessarily be the culprit behind cases of microcephaly?
Well, it looks like the world's health authorities throughout the world are using the Zika virus as a cover story to conceal the damage caused by toxic chemicals manufactured by powerful global corporations.
Okay, so they've gotten to the World Health Organization. And consequently, because of that, it's even more critical that our listeners learn how to take care of themselves. That's what we're about here.
Well, it says here, malformations, and with the Zika virus, we're talking about microcephaly, a small head and brain, detected in thousands of children from pregnant women living in areas where the Brazilian state added toxic chemicals to the drinking water, is not a coincidence. They added those chemicals to the drinking water, I guess, to help kill mosquitoes, too. So the Ministry of Health in Brazil is placing a direct blame on the Zika virus for the damage while trying to ignore its responsibility and ruling out the hypothesis of direct and cumulative chemical damage caused by years of endocrine and immunological disruption of the affected population. In other words, they're constantly using toxic chemicals, pesticides and herbicides. You know, these are agricultural areas where women work in the fields not protected against these chemicals.
Dr. Slavin, might the Brazilian government have an even more important motivation to deny that it's the chemicals and focus the attention on the mosquitoes carrying the Zika virus? Because if it were the chemicals, then there might be a financial responsibility from the Brazilian government as well as the manufacturer of those pesticide, herbicide chemicals sprayed on the fields.
Well, that and the fact that they're rushing to come out with a vaccine, so they're going to profit on what's going on. Now, the doctors from the Brazilian Association for Collective Health demand that urgent epidemiological studies taking into account this link be carried out. And the link they're talking about is the all those chemicals used in the environment there, as opposed to blaming it on the Zika virus, because when you look at the over 3,800 cases of malformations confirmed through January of 2016, so just last month, and 49 children have died, and only five of them were confirmed to have been infected with Zika.
Okay, so isn't that critically important information? And I just want to go back to something that you mentioned just a moment ago, Dr. Slavin, the toxic chemicals added to the water. Might chlorine and fluoride added to our water be considered toxic chemicals?
Well, they are. They are. And it really depends. See, here's what it is. They test the levels in the water, and they say, well, that's a safe level. You can drink it. But they don't determine how much you drink of that water. And then that same water is used to grow produce that you consume. And that same water is used for the raising of livestock that you eat. So the amounts of fluoride and chlorine in the water is really magnified. So it's not just from the water you drink. It's from everything that you consume.
And not taking into consideration, okay, it's a 60-pound child. It's a 120-pound woman. It's a 200-pound man. So this toxic safe level, not so safe.
Now, I bring this up not to shine a bright light on the Zika virus per se, but to shine a bright light on what we're being told in general, so that we all, you know, really take a second to think about it. Because I think the knee-jerk response, which everybody is having, oh, the Zika virus, I'm going to stay indoors, I can't get bit by a mosquito, and it's a false premise. Now,
how about all those people who are spraying more chemicals on themselves as an insect repellent?
Right. Okay. Good point. Now, these doctors in Argentina, in their report, also said that the Zika virus has never been known to cause brain deformities in children. There have been.
It's been around since 1940.
There have been previous Zika epidemics. And they never caused any birth defects in newborns, despite infecting 75% of the population in those countries. Also, in other countries such as Colombia, there are no records of microcephaly. However, there are plenty of Zika cases. So something is very fishy here.
Not surprising that things are very fishy when it comes to accepting responsibility for toxic exposures to chemicals and ultimately the really negative impact it has on human health.
So they're saying, and this is coming from those countries involved, doctors in those countries, that the entire reason these brain deformities are being blamed on the Zika virus is so that powerful chemical companies can sell more toxic chemicals that poison the people and the environment even more. The doctors go on to say that the strategy of chemical control is contaminating the environment as well as people, that it is not decreasing the amount of mosquitoes, and that the strategy is, in fact, a commercial maneuver from the chemical poisons industry, deeply integrated into Latin American ministries of health, as well as the World Health Organization.
Are those doctors wearing bulletproof vests?
We will see. We will see. So they go on to say the government sprays chemicals that cause brain deformities in children, but in order to avoid blaming the chemicals, they blame the mosquitoes, and therefore demand more toxic chemicals be sprayed, causing yet more deformities that demand yet more chemicals and so on.
It's a brilliant economic maneuver on the part of those chemical companies, and the fact that they have essentially taken over the government agencies as well as the global agency, World Health Organization.
And if you listen to this program on a regular basis, we talk about a lot of different topics. But they seem to have this theme in common, that They use a, well, what was the saying? They said never let
a fox in the hen house.
No, never let a catastrophe or something like that go to waste. In other words, it right. gives you an opportunity to get things done that you normally wouldn't be able to get things done. And this is how they're fooling everybody. So what's familiar about this is what the vaccine industry does. Many vaccines actually cause epidemics, which is why children who are stricken with measles and mumps have almost always been previously vaccinated against measles and mumps. But now they get the measles and mumps from the vaccine, and the public demands more vaccines, which cause more outbreaks. I mean, it's if it weren't so sad, it'd be funny.
Oh, it is such a sad state of affairs. And those vaccinated children and adults, they are able to circulate in the population, shedding viral particles and thereby producing a potential epidemic.
Now, if you're a businessman, this approach makes perfect sense. If you're a physician and you don't think about what you're doing, you might not pick up on it, but it's the perfect business model. When your product causes an epidemic of disease or birth defects, just find something else to blame and then pay off all the government health authorities to demand more of your product. After all, when the CDC, even the CDC loves these pandemics because it gives them an opportunity to exhibit more authority and push for more vaccines.
So a very, very good job protection model, a very good government funding model.
Excellent point. President Obama has now called for $1.8 billion in government handouts. It's really taxpayer handouts. Shouldn't say government. It's our money.
Right. Taxpayer funded.
To vaccine companies and pharmaceutical corporations to combat Zika, yet the linkage between Zika and microcephaly is nothing but an unproven, unscientific, mythological narrative dreamed up by the vaccine pushers. It carries the same scientific weight as saying black cats cause bad luck or rubbing a rabbit's foot gives me good luck. Now, some people believe that.
Well,
So, you know, we can go right down the line. Look how they treat women in order to prevent hip fractures.
Oh, they give them a medication that is very likely to cause bone cysts, which would be essentially a malignancy in the jawbone.
So the point is the treatments don't make a difference, yet they get to sell a lot of drugs. And then when the person breaks a hip, they say, you see, you need to take more drugs. You can almost go right down the line when they use a drug to treat something. For example, oh, we'll give you more examples when we come back.
Okay, that music means it's time for a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Music, and you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and right now we're talking about the chemical, the toxic chemical. Is there anything else besides a toxic chemical? Actually, the toxic chemical overload. Dr. Slavin?
Janet, we started talking about the Zika virus and how microcephaly, which is a congenital birth deformity, is being blamed on that virus instead of probably putting the blame where it should be on all the toxic chemicals in the environment down in Brazil. And this is what doctors down there are saying. They're saying the Zika virus has never been associated with microcephaly. In the some of the countries down there where they have thousands and thousands of cases of microcephaly, only a handful of the people who the mothers or the children test positive for the Zika virus. So where's the connection? The only connection is that they're using it as an excuse to sell more mosquito sprays and more chemicals, and they're coming out with a vaccine here because they're going to mandate everybody. Well, they've scared enough people. Everybody's going to line up for a Zika vaccine.
Well, I hope to unscare people. You can go on the internet and you can find out how many cases of microcephaly have occurred in the United States, let's say over the past 15 to 20 years. And those cases of microcephaly have never been associated with the Zika virus. So this is a false catastrophe. It's something that has been put into the mainstream media and scaring people, but the connection is very tenuous.
We see the same thing happening all around us. I'm willing to bet very few people that enter the hospital with a heart attack are not taking any medication. They're all being treated for all the so-called risk factors for a heart attack.
That's an area of discussion I use with my clients all the time, Dr. Slavin. I say blood pressure pills have been around for 70 years, cholesterol-lowering drugs almost 30 years, and has the cardiovascular mortality rate declined? Not enough to equal the number of people who are taking both of those classes of drugs.
I don't know if it's declined at all. It's still the number one killer. So how could how could we say it's declined? But the point we're making is, all right, they say, you take this drug to lower your cholesterol. I ask patients, why do you want to lower your
cholesterol?
I start off saying, why are you taking a statin drug? They say, to lower my cholesterol. I say, why do you want to lower your cholesterol? And that's where they get stumped.
Okay, so we must have seen the same comedian or something, because that's how I talk to the people seeing me with regard to their cholesterol-lowering drugs. And then I go through the side effects associated with cholesterol-lowering drugs, primarily the rhabdomyolysis, breakdown of muscle tissue. And then there's a little drum roll, and then I say, your heart's a muscle. And you're breaking down muscle tissue? Not the best decision.
And that's why they tell you to take coenzyme Q10 when you take a statin. I just wonder, are all the doctors prescribing statin drugs also telling that to their patients.
I still see, I'm going to say, about half the people that I work with are not using coenzyme Q10, or they might have started out using it when they first began taking the statin drug, and then it kind of fell by the wayside. It is, okay, so here's my question, Dr. Slavin. Will taking coenzyme Q10 modify or eliminate that breakdown of muscle tissue? I see. I'm not sure if that is actually significant enough protection against that muscle tissue breakdown.
Well, we know that taking a statin drug blocks the production in your body of coenzyme Q10. I don't know. And so therefore take CoQ10. But I don't know that the study has been done to see whether the rise of congestive heart failure that we're seeing associated with taking statin drugs is the same in groups of people not taking CoQ10 versus groups of people taking CoQ10 with a statin drug.
According to Julian Whitaker, he says that the rates of death from sudden heart failure have just skyrocketed, that they were stable as a certain percentage of the population. And then with the introduction of the statin class drugs, you've seen that curve take a dramatic straight up change.
One could argue that the statin drugs reduce the incidence of the acute heart attack that killed people, allowing them to live to get the congestive heart failure.
Isn't that why the doctors tell their patients to use aspirin? That, you know, if you're taking the aspirin, you might avoid a heart attack. And the truth of the matter is, and Bayer has had to change their labels because of this, the truth of the matter is there may be some benefit in protecting you against a second heart attack with the use of aspirin. And so to protect you from the first heart attack, the aspirin is not so effective. And Bayer, the biggest producer of that low-dose aspirin that so many people are taking, has had to change their label in accordance with this bit of information. The other thing that I tell people about aspirin is, yes, indeed, it will stop making your blood cells stick together. So it will essentially thin your blood, but it will also make your blood vessels very fragile so that they're much more likely to have a crack or a leak or a significant break. So you have to be really very, very careful with your combinations.
Has your doctor checked your coenzyme Q10 levels? Have they checked your vitamin C levels? You know, deficiencies here are associated with heart disease and atherosclerosis, and that's published data. Why aren't they checking that? They check your cholesterol levels and give you a drug to lower that, but they don't really address the underlying cause. Sort of, you know, making a vaccine for the Zika virus to prevent microcephaly when that's not the, there's not a cause and effect there. I mentioned to Janet, I was going to start off the program saying that on the morning drive to work, car accidents are caused by the consumption of coffee. Right?
Because
everybody in a car accident probably had coffee that morning. But can you really believe the connection? But that's what they're doing here with the Zika virus and the microcephaly.
Right.
You know, they're just, you know, making conclusions that, you know, just scientific evidence doesn't bear out. But if you don't think about it yourself for a second, just take time to see what they're being told makes sense. Because most of the time, the stuff, medicine, the doctors tell you don't make any sense because there's no such thing as a drug deficiency.
You talked about some deficiencies, coenzyme Q10, primarily, Dr. Slavin. There's information that I read recently about a vitamin D deficiency associated with cardiovascular issues. And what I'm going to say is if you are deficient in vitamin D, the likelihood of inflammation and dysfunctional metabolism of calcium contributing to cardiovascular disease. And the big one that the doctors test incorrectly, magnesium. It needs to be tested red blood cell magnesium. And that's something that's done here at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. The correct way to evaluate magnesium in your body.
Because it's an intracellular mineral. It's not found in the serum where they do most of the testing. So you have to do specialized testing in the serum.
The other thing is they test regularly the calcium level, which is found in the serum blood, and they keep changing the range. It used to be 10 was the upper limit. Then they moved it to 10.2. Then they moved it to 10.4. And I tell people who bring their blood work to me, don't go over 10. That higher level of calcium in circulating in your bloodstream can contribute to coronary artery occlusion. So when you are told by your doctor, oh, you have a 90% blockage, very often it isn't just cholesterol, it's calcium. So be really careful with the calcium level circulating in your blood and test correctly the magnesium, the red blood cell magnesium, so you have a balance.
So if someone has a high calcium level in their blood, what do you tell the person?
Okay, well, I tell them that they need, number one, to drink more water. They need to be very careful with their calcium intake. Very often, I see people who are taking a calcium supplement, and I review with them their calcium level. And when they're in the nines, from 9 to 10, I would consider that a very reasonable level of calcium. And very often, they've been told by their doctors that they need to take 1,200 milligrams, 1,500 milligrams of calcium a day. And many of the people are taking that Caltrate plus D, and they think that they're getting this very, very high quality calcium because it's Caltrate. And so the truth of the matter is you need calcium-magnesium balance. You need very, very good acid content in your digestive system so that you can properly break down and metabolize the calcium.
The misconception about osteoporosis is that you're constantly being told it's a calcium deficiency disorder when in reality it's a calcium utilization disorder. Your body is exposed to plenty of calcium. That's not the issue. The issue is its inability to put it in the bones where it belongs, and you don't achieve that by taking more calcium. You can achieve that naturally by doing more exercise, by making sure you're not deficient in hormones, and women in particular, you know, their estrogen and progesterone levels, they need to be balanced. Vitamin D is crucial. Vitamin K is also important, so your body knows how to utilize the calcium. It's not about taking more calcium. So there's a perfect example how they convinced you to take calcium to prevent a disease, and it hasn't reduced the incidence of hip fractures or compressions, fractures in the back. Just not happening.
Okay, possibly a contributing factor to kidney stones, cataracts, arthritis, bone spurs, and so on. So you see so many different issues that are very common with, let's say, people over the age of 40 because they're supplementing with calcium and they shouldn't be doing that.
Well, if you can't put the calcium in the bones where it belongs, think about where it's going then. And when we come back, I'll tell you about a really good test to give you the necessary information to determine whether you have addressed that issue appropriately.
Okay, fabulous. And so to all of our listeners, you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. And just before the break, Dr. Slavin said that he would give us information about a very, very good test. And I'm not sure whether you are going to tell us the best way to evaluate how well your calcium's functioning in your body or how dense your bones are or maybe something completely different.
Well, it's a urine test that measures N-telopeptides. And what the urine test tells you, are you losing excess calcium? Your body's not able to utilize it, so it's coming out in the urine. Or you're conserving calcium. You're not losing it in the urine because your body always has a lot of calcium in it. It's how it's being utilized. Because even though your bones may be osteoporotic, you still have calcium there. And if you continue to lose that calcium, this test will tell you. But if you made the necessary changes that I suggested earlier, the other thing I didn't mention, an alkaline diet conserves calcium as well, because if you eat an acidic diet, that's a diet high in protein, sodas, what else, Janet?
Sugar.
Sugar. Your body uses calcium to neutralize the acidity that creates. So that's a cause of bone loss. But the test measures whether you're losing excess bone or not. If you're not, then you've accomplished what you need to accomplish, and you still may get a bone density test that says your bones are thinner than they need to be, but of course they're comparing you to a 25-year-old. So that's like a slam dunk for the drug companies to sell you a drug, because they're comparing you to a 25-year-old.
And it's the law. That's what that is required of the physicians doing bone density screening, that you must, in order to make a correct diagnosis, compare the patient to a 25-year-old.
Now, where else do we do anything like that? I can't think of another instance where we would expect a person, doesn't matter what gender, say a 65-year-old, to have the same, be in the same condition as a 25-year-old. You know, we take age into account all the time. Even in sports, we don't expect a 40-year-old baseball player to be equivalent to a 25-year-old baseball player. If we did, then we would accept the use of performance-enhancing drugs, which they don't allow, which doesn't make sense to me either. The 25-year-old makes it themselves, like testosterone and growth hormone. The 40-year-old makes a lot less compared, but they won't let him level the playing field. But they use other performance-enhancing things. I say, aren't wearing eyeglasses performance-enhancing?
LASIK surgery and contact lenses. Yeah, you can do a lot for your golf game with contact lenses.
Yeah, I think that's performance. How come that's okay, to use those performance-enhancing approaches, but to take a drug, by the way, growth hormone is not performance-enhancing. All it does is helps the body heal and recover more quickly from strenuous exercise.
So that's an issue with an aging athlete, the ability to recover from extensive output of energy is much slower in a 40-year-old person than in a 25-year-old person. And certainly the ability to maintain bone density is very different in a 70-year-old than a 25-year-old.
So if human growth hormone, and a better name would be human repair hormone, is such a they consider it dangerous, I think. I'm not sure why, but in reality, these athletes use it. If you use it appropriately, and by appropriately, meaning within physiological limits, not excessive to the point where you get side effects, it is very effective as a repair hormone. What could they possibly be afraid of? If people were to routinely use human repair hormone.
Okay. I think that one of the things going on, and this is my paranoia surfacing, is that we have made such advances in, I don't want to say medicine because there's so much in the area of anti-aging, that many people are living longer and longer. And unfortunately, then the government has to pay for, number one, their health care, number two, their social security. And these people are not necessarily contributing to the economic situation in a particular nation. I think that there's great fear that around the world, the global population will so increase with people living longer and longer. With better sanitation, that makes a very big difference, just literally around the world.
My answer to that question is that, as it is with bioidentical hormones, when we talk about replacing testosterone or estrogen, progesterone in adults as their levels decline with age.
Do you think we're going to increase fertility in that age category?
No, but the point is that you remove the need to take a lot of drugs. And that's what they're concerned about. And if you were to take human growth hormone, you would also remove the need to take a lot of drugs. And this is, I think, their major concern. Imagine just replenishing the levels that your body requires to function optimally. And we're talking about hormones, substances made in your body that are required for optimal function. And the production declines with age, and so does our health, and our ability to function optimally changes with age. Perhaps the restoration of those hormone levels would diminish the need for medication. I see it, not with growth hormone, because we don't do a lot of that, but with just testosterone and estrogen and progesterone replacement.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, would you say that with a good diet, so you're nutritionally supported, you're properly hydrated, that your body will produce a level of cholesterol that is appropriate for that particular person's needs? So their brain function, moderating the effects of stress on their body, and so on. That there are so many different ways that you support your body. And, the basic underlying complete foundation is good nutrition. Then comes AMT centers, and they can test how your body is metabolizing and utilizing all of the different vitamins and minerals, amino acids, and so on, enzymes, so that your body is extremely well balanced regardless of your age. Then AMT centers can test your growth hormone, your testosterone, your estrogen, the estrogen profile. I think that's so critically important to be able to find out, okay, here's your total estrogen level, and then the breakdown, estradiol, estriol, and estrone. That's critically important to evaluate health and well-being and risk of different types of disease. So that nutrition foundation and then proper testing. And certainly you can use certain nutrients, in my opinion, to manipulate the efficiency of your hormones. What do you think of that?
Well, I think mainstream medicine has taken us in the wrong direction when it comes to improving our health. I always mention, there's no such thing as a drug deficiency. Is there such a thing as a vaccine deficiency? No. The deficiency is in the function of your immune system, because you need a functioning immune system for a vaccine to work. So why do we need the vaccine? Focus on making your immune system functional.
Critically important. I'm about to go and do a presentation at Winmore this afternoon, and the subject of what I will be discussing is your microbiome. That's one of the basic approaches used by your immune system to keep a body healthy. So if your beneficial bacteria are overwhelmed by negative bacteria, then you set the stage for a variety of different illnesses. And it's interesting because when we give vaccines to poor little tiny infants, we totally disrupt their immune system's ability to function normally.
And if we were to focus on one test to identify people at risk of illness, it would be the a fasting insulin level.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So the fasting insulin level is going to, and so you would say that's the critically important test for any age patient coming in, say from 30 to 90, any age. Okay.
Say from birth to death. Because what that's going to tell you is, elevated insulin levels are harmful because they're really a reflection of how your body is utilizing sugar consumption. If your insulin level is high, it means you're taking in too many carbohydrates, or you've developed insulin resistance and it's high because you need more insulin to control the blood sugar. In either case, elevated insulin levels are a bad thing. But they don't check that. They just check blood sugar levels. And the point that's important to understand is you can have normal blood sugar levels, because that's what everybody focuses on, is your blood sugar normal or not? Well, you can have normal blood sugars with elevated insulin levels, and that's the real risk. It's the elevated insulin.
I have so many questions to ask you when we come back from this break about the risk of elevated insulin levels. So to all of our listeners, stay tuned. More to come on Natural Doc Radio.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. And just before the break, Dr. Slavin said that the most important test that you can do is the fasting insulin test. And of course, you can find that, the availability of that test at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. 754-216-2332 to call and inquire about your insurance coverage and where Advanced Medical Testing Center is and all of the information you might need in order to make an appointment and have your fasting insulin level evaluated. Okay, before the break, Dr. Slavin, I said I was going to ask you, how does the result of the fasting insulin level test give you information about or affect out of range fasting insulin level, affect your probiotic level, your B complex level? How might that fasting insulin level give you information about insomnia that you might be dealing with, depression, anxiety that you might be dealing with? Are all of those connected in your mind?
Well, they are, and we can continue to list cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, polycystic ovarian syndrome, fatty liver. But think about this. So what is, and then you say, okay, and then what does the high blood pressure lead to? You know, heart disease, kidney failure, stroke, and the diabetes also increases the risk of all those illnesses. On this list should also be included cancer. So that's why I say the goal here is to identify people at risk of getting ill. Now, because having an elevated insulin level is totally asymptomatic in its earliest stages. So why aren't we doing that test routinely, telling someone, you know, your insulin level is high, you have to change your diet. It's not a signal. Well, this is why they don't do the test. There's no drug that can really effectively lower insulin levels. I mean, they have drugs that they portend to do that. In fact, they say like metformin is supposed to improve insulin sensitivity. But wouldn't it make more sense to improve insulin sensitivity, cut back on carbohydrate intake? That's how
Seen that metformin actually makes a difference with insulin sensitivity?
At some of the meetings, they say to use it, but I don't use it. I like to use dietary changes as the main approach.
Okay, but with somebody who has a significantly out of range insulin resistance, are there any supplements that you use with that patient?
Well, there are supplements that can be helpful. I mean, there's a whole list of different supplements, but I think they're being used as medication too. Instead,
absolutely, using them as medication, but I like to refer to them as a bridge. While the person is going about step by step changing their diet and eliminating the most negative aspects of their diet that contribute to the insulin resistance, and then they have these nutrient substances that are supporting those changes.
I do it the other way. I tell patients, make the dietary changes. Let's see how effective they are, because at the end of the day, those are the changes that you have to maintain. So if you make the changes and then we see the improvement we're looking for, good. We don't see the improvement, then I'll add in some of the help from the different supplements that can be helpful in improving insulin sensitivity.
So to help reduce insulin sensitivity, remove the bread, the pasta, the rice, the potato, crackers, chips. And I'm going to throw in there, and I want your opinion, Dr. Slavin, dairy products.
Well, you know, there is sugar in dairy products, especially the low-fat dairy products that everybody is buying instead of the regular.
Yeah, the non-fat are the worst offenders.
Yeah, and even better than whole milk, if you're going to use something, is cream. Now you're getting into the fatty part of the product. Those are safer and more natural alternatives. And that's the test that every doctor should be doing. And to enhance the information from the test, you not only do a fasting insulin level, but you do a 2-hour insulin challenge as well. Because you can have a normal fasting insulin level, but a 2-hour insulin challenge test may reveal the earliest signs of insulin resistance. So you do that along with the blood sugar and insulin together.
Okay. So are there any dangers in doing that 2-hour glucose challenge test for people who are really glucose sensitive?
Well, what you might see sometimes is a drop in blood sugar when you do the test. In other words,
So make sure you're sitting down.
they push out so much insulin in response to the glucose challenge that their blood sugar drops a lot, and they get symptoms of hypoglycemia. And by the way, hypoglycemia is a precursor to diabetes, because your whole metabolic system is dysfunctional at that point. And we're just trying to restore function and restore the normal levels of insulin. And you can only accomplish that with the dietary changes necessary. And what I think happens is when you give people a drug or even a supplement, you're taking away the real need for them to change their dietary choices.
Okay, so very, very important. One of the things that I talk to people about with regard to managing unstable blood sugar and possibly insulin resistance is fiber. Dr. Slavin, what do you suggest with your patients with regard to fiber? Do you tell them to use a fiber supplement, or you tell them specific high-fiber foods? What's the recommendation?
Well, always the first choice has to be high-fiber foods. Now, when we talk about carbohydrates, it's the non-fiber carbohydrates that you have to avoid.
Right.
The fiber carbohydrates are the vegetables. And
see, when people hear fiber, I think a lot of them, they go right to high-fiber cereals.
They've done a good job, haven't they?
Okay, so our brains have been twisted, and the best would be high-fiber vegetables. One of the suggestions that I tell people, in order to avoid the grain-based fibers that you might think about, and you have to use them appropriately, not overuse them, but they give you that same feeling of satiety, would be the beans, legumes.
Well, here's just something on another website. I was just looking about insulin. They say it's a shame that doctors don't order the fasting insulin level, because elevated insulin is bad for your health and shortens your lifespan. You think that gets people's attention?
Shortens your lifespan. Yeah. I think that gets attention.
So people with too much insulin in their bloodstream are said to have insulin resistance. Now, other names for that are Syndrome X, metabolic syndrome, or prediabetes. Maybe if you say you're pre-diabetic, that gets people's attention as well. And it's all caused by an improper diet. And so this is a way of alerting someone in its earliest stages so you can make changes and avoid diabetes and avoid all the other associated conditions with high insulin levels, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol.
Cancer. You're at greater risk of developing different types of cancer because with this high insulin situation, you're also going to be have a great need for antioxidant nutrients. And usually that antioxidant status is low.
I mean, here are some other associations with high insulin levels. Acne and large pores on the face. Also, you could have increased levels of testosterone, and that's associated with acne as well.
So the increased levels of testosterone in women could be a contributing, or it's a symptom that perhaps your insulin level is high and you're dealing with insulin resistance.
Now, here's another one that probably get people's attention more. Scalp hair loss in women in the male pattern, you know, front and sides, associated with high insulin levels. Skin tags. Another association. Also, swollen ankles. A lot of people complain of that, especially at the end of the day, because when you have high insulin levels, you retain sodium and water, and therefore you have a greater tendency to have some fluid retention.
Okay, quick. How do we help insulin work better? Three-point plan to lower insulin? We only have a minute. Chromium, magnesium, Gymnema sylvestre, berberine, improve your liver health. So beets, I tell people, and they say, well, they're high in sugar. Yeah, but the beets are really, really good for your liver.
And basically, cut back on the carbohydrates. That's we all are so easy to eat too much of that, and you just have to cut back. Because your life depends on it.
Okay, your life depends on it. And you heard it here on Natural Doc Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Dr. Herb Slavin and I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Hope to see you then. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.